You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
An international report published last week by the Lancet Global Health Commission, co-authored by the University of Auckland, has revealed hundreds of thousands are dying each year through a lack of access to medical oxygen. Oxygen delayed is life denied, said one survivor of COVID-19 in Kenya. Associate Clinical and Medical Health Sciences Professor at the University of Auckland, Stephen Hoey, one of the co-authors of the report, offered us his precious time away from the hospital for an interview, where he shared with us his personal experiences in overseas hospitals where he's seen a lack of medical oxygen be the cause of many preventable deaths, and his thoughts on what needs to be done for this issue to be fixed. So firstly, can you tell us about what the international report has found regarding a lack of access to safe medical oxygen around the globe?
Yeah, sure. I'm only happy to. The background to this is that oxygen is such a basic thing. We all need it for life. And when you don't get enough of it because you're sick, then you need extra. So it's an essential medicine. It has no substitute. This report was prompted by the COVID pandemic. And we'd like to forget about that now. We put it behind us. But we all saw at the time these pictures from around the world of hospitals running out of oxygen, people dying. It was horrific. And that highlighted what we already knew, in fact, that there wasn't enough oxygen worldwide and the people who really needed it were often not getting it. So this report was about finding out what the issue really has been here and seeing how to tackle it. The Lancet Global Health is an important medical magazine, as many of your listeners will know, and it tackles major health issues. So this particular commission, which is one of the ways they tackle these issues, was getting at those questions. How big is the problem? Where is the problem? Why is the problem? How do we solve it? So these reports involve lots and lots of people, lots and lots of work. And the key findings, and it started in 2022, a lot of work being done, and the key findings was, first of all, there's a big need for medical oxygen worldwide, and there's a big gap to meet that need. There's around 374 million people per year who need to be treated with oxygen. The horrible fact is that more than 70% of those who need it don't actually get it. And that's one of the headline findings. And there are a number of other findings that I'm sure that we will explore as we talk.
And what are the main factors causing this global lack of medical oxygen?
It's a really good question, Amani. There are a number of factors here. And one way to put this is that as I look back on my career in working in child health, particularly I'm a pediatrician, as I moved from training in our country to work in other countries, including in Africa, it became apparent to me that this issue, which was so pressing, was actually a difficult problem to solve. It was in the too hard basket, and I think that gets to the nub of a lot of the issue here. Oxygen traditionally has been expensive. It's been awkward to try to get it to work. It's been quite complex systems. And so it has been in the past not a priority because it's been so hard to make it work. And politically, that hasn't been disastrous for government to not grapple with this as firmly as they are now. But with the COVID pandemic, what had been a very important medical issue and health issue globally became starkly a political issue. And where countries were under pressure and running out of oxygen and with catastrophic consequences, this definitely became a huge political issue. There are many layers to the problem, but just recognizing that it's an essential medicine and that population need it and that it has to be prioritised is really at the root of a lot of the shortage that we have had.
And which countries are most affected by this lack of medical oxygen?
Like a lot of health problems, low and middle income countries are absolutely more affected than high income countries. So when we look at the global need for oxygen, over 80% of that need is in low and middle income countries, and particularly in Asia, in South Asia and in East Asia and the Pacific, and in sub-Saharan Africa as well. Over two-thirds of the oxygen that is needed worldwide is in those areas.
And why do you think it's those countries that are most affected?
A lot of the time, what we have is we've got constrained health budgets. And then on the background of what we were talking about before, where it hasn't been seen as so much of an issue. I was surprised when I'd done my training in our country and then was working overseas, particularly in sub-Saharan Africa, and got into international child health. I was surprised to find that there was a question as to whether oxygen treatment was the thing to do if somebody had a low body oxygen. It's just an absolute standard of care in high-income countries. But the question was asked, does it even work? Is it even important? And my feeling is that that was really because it was difficult to achieve it. Now, that is back then, and budgets, of course, in low and middle-income countries are constrained. There are very, very good reasons why this is an excellent investment, not just for countries themselves, and it's important that countries prioritise it, but also for the international community to support that too.
And is this currently having an impact on Aotearoa New Zealand?
So that's a really interesting question. We are fortunate in Aotearoa New Zealand to have a really good health system compared to many, many countries. My feeling has always been that we should be very grateful for that, because we're at a much higher standard, but we should also be dissatisfied. Dissatisfied because our system does need to be better. So grateful and dissatisfied. We should be especially dissatisfied that our health services and systems are not delivering as they should for the most vulnerable in our population. And there are big gaps here. So particularly for those on low income, for Māori, for Pasifika people, there are big gaps in access. Although we have good hospitals, by and large, that will have good oxygen supplies and good acute care, there are many steps before somebody is actually able to access the care that they need. And whether it is in Aotearoa New Zealand, or whether it is in the Gambia, West Africa, or whether it is in Fiji in the Pacific, when somebody is sick, it needs to be recognised. They need to be able to reach care. They need the competent staff to be able to assess them, diagnose them, and then treat them. And so we have some of the same challenges in our country as they have in other countries, with people actually, in the end, accessing the care that they need. And we have higher rates of disease for things like pneumonia, which is a key cause of needing oxygen. We have higher rates for that than we really should have. And I would add that during my training in this country, I felt prepared me rather too well for going and working in Africa, because a lot of the same problems are happening here. Not to the same numbers, but we've absolutely got some similar issues. And access to good care and ensuring that that is equitable and is full is a real challenge for us too.
And tell us a bit more about your personal experiences in these overseas hospitals where you've seen this lack of medical oxygen affecting people yourself.
Yeah, thanks, Imani. These things are disturbing. I spent over a decade working in the Gambia in West Africa, and I would go often to the government hospital there and work. And the issues on the ground, some of them for the staff there were that when children, in this case, were very sick, they would run out of oxygen. Now, it's one thing for a patient to die when you feel that you've done everything that you could for them. It's another thing entirely when you feel that their death could have been prevented. And that's so hard. It's obviously, it's terrible for the family, but it's also terrible for the staff and really discouraging. And it was seeing these things happen that made us feel at that stage, right, this is just such a basic thing. It's such a basic life-saving thing to get right. And so we mustn't allow this to happen. And so that's when I think we made it our goal that no child should die for lack of oxygen. And that applies to adults too.
What needs to be done to solve this issue moving forward?
Although this is tricky to some extent, it's actually very solvable. It's actually not that tricky if there's commitment to it. The first thing is, and I'd like to add here, that so much of what we have learned in continents like Africa applies to the Pacific as well. And in countries like Fiji, who have been working so hard on this, so many gains made and real example of how these kind of problems can be solved. So first of all, it needs to be solved at a local level and then at a global level. So at a local level, there needs to be a recognition that the person who needs oxygen is actually sick. So that means that the person who was caring for them, was with them, recognizes that they're sick and that they're able to actually reach care, right? And that is a very important issue that we need to keep working on. Second of all, once they reach care, they need to diagnose that they've got a low body oxygen, and that needs a device called a pulse oximeter, right? They've been around for a number of decades. If you've ever been into hospital and they put that peg on your finger, that's a pulse oximeter, and it measures your body oxygen. And once it's been diagnosed that you have a low body oxygen, then you need to be treated with oxygen. And you need to have the supplies to do that, you need the equipment to do that, but it's not rocket science. The health services, the health systems don't need to be perfect to achieve this. They just need to be good enough. And that's absolutely achievable. Those are things at a local level. And there needs to be the infrastructure, there needs to be the funding and the policy to support that in countries. At a global level, to actually help this to happen, there needs to be a collective intent from the international community, and that's really important. And a big breakthrough in 2023 was that the World Health Organization issued a declaration to increase access to medical oxygen. So that was a real breakthrough. You don't just need a declaration, you need a roadmap to get there. Things like the Lancet Commission report that we've been talking about today, that's an important roadmap of how to get there, and other important initiatives like the Global Oxygen Alliance. All of that stuff that I've mentioned, they're really just documents and just meetings, and that's all, unless there is implementation to actually change them. And that means at country levels, tackling the problem with cross sectors and having local national oxygen plans that are funded and it actually have teeth and will get implemented on the ground. Actually, most of the funding for this does need to come from within countries, but it's important that a gap in that funding is supported by the international community. And countries, I think, do and will feel most because they care about their people, and because actually oxygen treatment is highly cost effective, and because populations will increasingly expect that they will get the care available. And so political pressure comes on. So the funding's important, and industry needs to engage with this issue. And increasingly industry is. It was a poor cousin in past decades, and only something that people were interested in for high-income countries. But increasingly, the industry is coming to the party with us in low and middle income countries.
That's all we've got time for today, Professor Hoey. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I think that this is something that is solvable, and the reward for doing that is that we can save many, many lives right now, and that we will be ready for the next pandemic. Because we can't bury our heads in the sand and think that that's not going to happen. It's more a case of when rather than if. And we've got a wonderful opportunity to be ready for this. New Zealand has a really important part to play in that.
And that was Associate Clinical and Medical Health Sciences Professor at the University of Auckland, Stephen Hoey, speaking to us about the lack of medical oxygen supply across the world and its impacts.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.